We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We wanted to let you know about a great new product that's coming out. You know, you guys have your thumbprint on your Apple phone. You've got your face print on your Apple iPhone. Face ID. Well, now they've got something else you can try. Take a listen.
We're now more connected than we ever have been, effectively placing security and convenience at war. But if we're all unique, all different, why is authentication so hard? Introducing a revolutionary breakthrough in biometrics. Truly frictionless security. From the same company that pioneered deep neural networks for voice authentication, we bring you the freedom to log in anywhere without effort, leveraging the latest in biometric research. Pindrop brings you tongue printing.
That's what they said, tongue printing. You lick your phone. It's coming to a phone near you.
And it'll let you in.
It'll let you in. Just lick your phone. I got a feeling a lot of people would like to lick their phone anyways. They love their phone so much. But
well, one of the other ones, they have a chocolate cell phone cover.
Chocolate. You can be hungry and protect your phone at the same time.
You got to go to the, if you'd never go to our site and click on the links, click on this one.
This is a funny one. It's got a lot of great,
especially
April
for
Fools.
April Fool's Day. These are products that they're not making, but they're real companies. Right. And they make.
Although somebody out there is like, yeah, I want to lick my phone right now. Let's go on to Charles in Hartford with a question. Hey, Charles, what's up?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I have a slight problem here. I was deleting my emails, and you know, you click on the first one, you scroll down to the bottom, and you click on it, and that one, and it selects all.
Yeah.
I hit the control key, and everything has disappeared.
Wow, your life is a lot easier now, huh? No more email, man. You win. Is this an online pop type of mailbox, or is this an exchange mailbox? Do you know what kind of mailbox it is?
I'm not familiar.
Were you browsing to get your email? Were you going to a Google browser or a Facebook? Were you going to
Yahoo?
Okay, I bet you they have a deleted folder. I bet you there is a folder on the Yahoo site within your account that'll show you all your deleted messages that you're going to now have to bring back into your other inbox. I would bet. So it's Yahoo. We can put a link up there as to how to
call it trash.
Could be a trash, right? You could have put it in the trash. And you probably haven't emptied the trash or your deleted folder. So we should be able to put a link up there for you as to how to recover email from your Yahoo trash bin.
Okay.
And so all is not lost. Although, just take a second and think. Should you bother bringing it back?
Well, there was one on that. Two on there that I wanted to say.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. We'll put a link up there for you, and you'll have to follow those instructions, and you'll have to undelete or untrash those messages that you threw in the trash.
Okay.
It should be apparent to you. I just don't know where it is. I don't use Yahoo. Have you changed your password in a while, Charles, by the way?
Not in a while.
Remember, Yahoo had every single one of their mailboxes hacked as far as their password, so you should do it while you're thinking about it.
Okay.
Don't use something like password. Make it hard.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you so very much.
You got it, sir. We'll put it up there for you. Give us a few minutes. We'll put a link as to how to recover, okay?
Thank you so very much.
You got it, Charles.
All right, have a blessed day and a happy Resurrection Sunday.
You too, Charles.
Great.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so he's going to get his email back. Almost apropos to what he just said, you know, resurrect his email. Let's go to Ken in Windsor next. Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
Sure.
Say, I've always been apprehensive about installing lots of software on my computer or on my cell phone.
Smart man.
And as a matter of fact, I had multiple computers, and each computer was, you know, specifically doing different things, and I didn't crowd up a lot of software on the system.
Yep, very smart.
But my other computers have gotten old, and I had a crash, and I had to get some work done. So I installed some software on my laptop, which is the fastest computer I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always concerned about now when I'm done with it, like, you know, I had like 5 years of income tax software on there.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to uninstall that, does it really clean out everything, or can you try out software all the time on your computer or on your cell phone for that matter? People are always downloading apps and then saying, I don't like that app.
Right.
But does it really clean up, or do you invite problems over time by installing and then, you know, uninstalling software?
Generally, if you keep uninstalling and installing, you can affect your operating system. But that's what the computer is designed to do. So it's not a major issue. However, having a bunch of software on there that you don't need or use, cleaning it up does make good sense as far as I'm concerned. Who knows in this day and age of apps, considering, again, Facebook and what they were doing to people, when you load an app from an app store, who knows what other functions or other services it's going to try to conscript on your behalf when you click accept. So nowadays, it's less and less. You should be less and less comfortable loading software. Like in Adobe, let's say, they would always stick the Ask Jeeves toolbar on your thing when you wanted to update Adobe, and so they would force that. They'd load McAfee on you. You'd have to opt out of these things. So along with loading the software you want, you could be loading a lot of other things you don't want. And so being cautious does make more sense these days. But the computer is designed to have software loaded all the time on it. So generally to your question, it shouldn't cause any issues as far as the process goes. But who knows what else they're loading.
Yeah, I know, because at one time I know that they changed some of the security or the licensing for the software where it wrote it on your hard drive, like with the tax software. It wrote it somewhere, and then every time you boot the computer, it would have to go check somewhere on that hard drive to see if you actually had a valid license.
And mm-hmm.
Now I understand with Windows 10, it actually writes it into the BIOS, so even if you change hard drives or something, it still knows, you know, that you were a licensed user.
That I've never heard of. Writing to a BIOS, I've never heard of. That's usually separate from the...
I don't know where you heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well...
But it's going to want to make sure you're a licensed user, so they put a file in a certain spot and says, oh, yeah, Ken bought this.
Yeah, and then it would slow the computer down, too, even if you weren't using the software. Evidently, when you boot it, it goes and runs this check every time, you know.
Sure. That could be true. Yeah. It doesn't care that you haven't used it anymore. It's still doing its thing.
Now, what I did before I installed this software is I set a restore point thinking that if I remove the software, I could just go back to the restore point, too.
You could do that, but that seems a little drastic.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I have Windows 10, and every time I've tried to go back to a prior restore point, I was never successful, and it tells me that it's perhaps the antivirus software mm-hmm. that's interfering, but it's, you know, it's all Microsoft software.
Okay. Microsoft interferes with Microsoft all the time. So turning off the antivirus to do a restore from your restore point does make sense. It's common. It's a common issue.
All right. If I run into it again, I'll try that and see if I'm successful.
Yeah, it should work.
All right.
All right, Ken.
Well, thank you so very much.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Good day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to Steve in Cheshire next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, so I bought a computer last year and what I had. I had 2 terabyte hard drives rated together, so I had 2 of them.
Nice.
And they become unrated. Now I see the second hard drive in my system, and I don't know if it's mirrored anymore.
Nope.
I never used to be able to see it. Now I do.
Right.
And something became unrated.
You're unrated, yeah. Your hard drive failed or your RAID controller failed and dropped it out?
Might have been in a Windows update.
I hope not. It shouldn't be done that way, but it could be that. You're not rated anymore. So you can try to re-rate it if that drive is healthy, create a RAID volume again, but you have to get to the controller software to do that. If it's a software RAID, it's almost useless. But if it's a hardware RAID where the controller is doing the work, it's usually better. Maybe in this case, it's a software RAID. But you're not, if you see both drives, you're not rated, you're not rated anymore. That volume should just be one volume of 1 terabyte rather than 2 separate terabyte drives.
Right.
The other thing about a rated system in a home PC, I would say it's kind of useless. If you have a good backup, that's really where you should consider your data protected. If you think the RAID is your backup, the RAID technology is your backup, then you're going to find out the hard way it's not a good backup.
Okay.
Do you have a backup, some other kind of backup?
Well, I do. I have an old Seagate that's only 1 terabyte. My hard drives are 2 terabyte size.
Right, so you can't back up at all.
And now effectively I have 4 terabytes of storage space.
Right.
Well,
technically you've got the second drive in there now. You can copy your data to that second drive as a backup.
Fair enough, yeah.
Right. But a RAID...
So what kind of controller software? Usually software is probably useless, but...
Software RAID is not as good as a hardware RAID. Okay. If you're going to use RAID, but understand that RAID really is designed to keep your system running during a failure. It's not a backup, and I find a lot of people think it's a backup. The problem with a RAID backup is that if you write a bad file on the one volume, it's going to copy that bad file to the second volume, so you effectively have no backup. It's really designed in case one drive fails, you get to keep operating, right? That's the great thing, and thankfully, drive failures are not that common. So you were trying to solve for something probably that somebody didn't quite explain it to you the way they really should have. And I would recommend you spend more money on a better backup or use that second drive just to copy your data files from the one drive to the second drive and have it as a backup. Now, again, the drawback again being if you get hit with ransomware, both those drives are encrypted and you've got no backup.
Sure.
So the other idea is to get an offsite or some sort of external NAS or something like that that might be disconnected from your system so that if you do get hit with something like ransomware, you're not encrypted.
Right.
Is that you
all
follow?
Right. Well, I appreciate it.
All right, Steve.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Bye. Find that a lot in business and our business clients. They think the RAID is a good backup in their server. It's just step one. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. 3 lines open for you on this Saturday morning. We'll be right back.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city.
Yeah, so I saw my nephew last night in Rock of Ages in a middle school play. And now he understands what real music is, man. The 80s, right? And I heard Def Leppard wouldn't give the rights to Rock of Ages, so there's no Def Leppard tunes. But they had some some of that. They had some Journey, man. Just remembering when I had hair. When the mullet reigned supreme. Ah, the good old days. So he did a great job down there in the Apollo Kennedy Middle School. All right, let's get back to your calls here. We're going to go to Russell in Enfield next. Hey, Russell, what's up?
How are you this morning?
Doing okay. How are you?
Well, I'm a little confused.
All right.
I just purchased a Dell 3252. I have not yet received it.
All right.
It replaces an older Dell with Windows 7.
All right.
I have a couple of questions. I'm told that Word on my old machine will not transfer to my new one.
Word documents?
It will.
Word documents or Word software?
No, the software.
So if you have the disks and keys, you can reinstall it on the new machine.
If I have the disk, well, I've got to have it. I don't think I'd throw it away. Supposing I don't have the disk, can it be taken off the drive and put on I think I call it a thumb something.
No.
I need the disk.
Software has to be reinstalled. It really can't be moved. You can move the data all day, but you have to reinstall the software. So if you have the disks and license keys, yes, your Word can be reused as long as you don't use it again on the old one. You know, you can't use it in two places. That would be piracy.
No, the old machine will be gone.
Yeah. So if you find the disks and the license key, you go ahead and install it on your new machine. How old, what version of Word are we talking about here, Russell?
Well, the original machine is probably 10 years old or more.
Oh, boy. Is this Word 2007?
I really can't tell you. I don't know.
When you bring up the Word on your old machine, it'll tell you.
I can't bring it up. All I have now is the desktop picture. I can do nothing else with it.
Oh, the machine's dead?
Dead.
All right. So the other thing is you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? So if this is Word 2007 or older, I would punt and go purchase Word 2016. You can buy Office 2016. You only have to buy it once. I know most of the folks out there would love to rent it to you forever with 365, but you don't have to do that. You can buy it once.
Okay. And what's the number of it?
It's Office 2016.
Is this used for business?
2016. Yeah. And that comes into disk form.
It does. Yeah. It's, you can get the home and business flavor, which is $250-some-odd. Pay for it once.
Oh, my God.
That's nothing versus renting it forever.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But Mr. Gates has to try to catch up to Mr. Bezos there. Come on.
I know. I'm in the old world.
I hear you.
But if I have the old disk, I can use the old disk.
If you have the disks and keys, yes. And if it's Word 2007, it should install on Windows 10, right, Bob?
You know what? It's not going to work. I'll tell you why. Because that all worked on registering or activating it over the internet,
mm-hmm.
and Microsoft has taken that all down. And you can't do it by phone anymore either.
So on 2007? Because we do it with 10 and others 10, all the time.
Yeah, 10 does sometimes.
Yeah, no,
but
we do it often.
2007, I haven't been able to activate it anymore.
All right.
Because they've taken it down. So,
I'd say
you're rolling the dice.
So if it's Office 2010 or newer.
Is this do you use this for business?
No.
You could always just use Open Office.
Exactly.
The free stuff. Have you ever heard of Open Office?
No.
We'll put a link at computertalkwithtab.com. It's basically a Linux-based Office suite. That's free. Free is better than 256, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it a word processor?
Yes, sir. Word processor, spreadsheet, all the things you'd want.
It's a suite similar to Office, Microsoft Office, but this is free. It used to be Apache.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed hands quite a bit, but there's a couple flavors of it, and it's actually, I think it's
And it's
good.
Called Open Office.
Yes, it is. Open Office.
We'll put a link up
for you. You can try that.
You can put a link up, but I have no machine.
When you get it. And when you get the machine in, go ahead and do your antivirus, do your Open DNS, and then go right over to Computer Talk with Tab, and you'll find today's show whenever, you know, go back in the archive links, and there'll be a link there for Open Office.
Okay, use today's 331.
Yep.
Okay, two other simple questions.
All right,
the machine come with a virus in it? Or do I have to buy, or have to get a virus, or download them?
Well, hopefully you don't have a virus in it, but a virus scanner, yes, it'll have Defender in it, Windows Defender, and it's free. You don't need to buy it.
Okay. Final question.
Yeah.
Are all the other files transferable, like my documents?
Yes, all your data files, you should be able to transfer, copy and paste into your new computer. Not a problem.
The only hooker is Word, and I can do that with Open Office.
I'm not sure if Open Office will open Word. That I don't know.
If it's a regular document file?
To do word process.
Yes, you can, sir.
If it's a document file or a DO document, Excel, know, extended.
Yeah,
it'll
work.
It'll open all the regular stuff. XML, that's what I meant.
Gotcha.
It'll open all the standard Office formats.
Awesome.
Okay, all I need to do is reference today's broadcast.
That's all you need. Or you can call us on the day you get your computer.
coming in sometime next week.
All right. All right, Russ.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome, sir. All right, our pleasure.
Thanks.
We'll be right back after this news break. Stick around. Danny, David, and Jeff, hang on. One line open for you.
Should have been gone, knowing how I made you feel, and I should have been gone.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and the lines are all jammed up like I promised. That 9 o'clock hour, guys, is a good time. I know you're all sleeping or something. But we dragged our butts out of bed and got in here for you. you guys could get any time in the morning at 9 o'clock is usually a good spot. Of course, everything also is podcasted. Yes, podcasting, something that didn't happen when I was a kid and Rock of Ages was becoming a thing, right? Back in the 80s. Podcasting is pretty popular. So our show is available via podcast.
If we don't answer a question similar to yours, then you need to get up earlier when nobody's calling.
Exactly. So let's go. Let's go to your calls. It's going to go to Danny in Glastonbury. Hey, Danny, how you been?
Oh, good.
What's up?
I've got a question for you.
All right.
My Gmail account, some time ago, one morning I went to send an email and I typed the first letter N, and normally an address would pop up that I send mail to.
Yeah, like a cached address book.
Yeah, you know, I have a little directory of different N's and stuff. And
autofill.
An N came up, but instead of being at Verizon.net, it came up at Cox.net.
All right.
And then I had a lot of other names and email addresses that were gone and don't appear anymore. And when I corrected and typed the proper email in, at Verizon.net, it doesn't hold it. So when I go to send another email to that same person and type the letter N, it's not there in the group of email addresses to select from.
Hmm.
And I also noticed that in my Gmail spam file, I have no spam. And on my tablet, I've got that Samsung Gmail, and there's no spam in that. And I always had, you know, 99 plus of spams, and there's no spam.
You're complaining about not getting spam.
Well, no, it's not that I'm complaining about not getting it. I'm just surprised that there is no spam suddenly from Russians and Ukrainians. And,
Google could be improving their spam settings, but you got to turn on your autofill. So there's supposedly somewhere in the settings, and then under advanced, there's an autofill setting that you can turn on. Why it turned off, I have no idea. It could have been an update that brought it back to a default status.
Well, you know, I did remember there was an update. I saw the little notice that Gmail got updated, and I think this happened after that update.
Yeah, so it's under Menu Settings Advanced or Show Advanced, and then you're going to go into Passwords and Forms Autofill Settings.
Yeah.
And you want to enable the autofill.
Okay.
That should solve that issue. And don't complain about not having spam.
No, I'm not complaining. Or you're going to just thought that might be a way to analyze the problem.
No, I appreciate that. No, the internet gods are going to punish you now.
Yeah,
you're about to get hit.
I went to Florida and saw the SpaceX Heavy launch.
Oh, did you? Nice.
That was amazing.
I heard it ripped a hole in some sort of stratosphere for some.
No, that was the one from Vandenberg.
Oh, okay.
Because they shot that straight up because it had a real light payload instead of arcing on an angle.
Yeah, they just shot it right through one of our spheres and caused a big hole.
Yeah, it opened up a hole in the ionosphere.
Yeah, that's where it was.
Hey, that Fitbit thing with the 100 million, 150 million, I don't think they had 150 people wearing those. That number can't be right. Like every other person in America has got a Fitbit, and they don't.
Well, this isn't the Fitbit. This is the
Under Armour.
The My Fitness Pal app. This is an app.
Oh, it was an app.
Yeah, it's to help you lose weight. The app, I don't know what it says. It says put that fork down, I guess.
Okay.
In my case, that's what it would have to say. Put the fork down, Eric.
Yeah.
And that was what happened, 150 million.
Oh, okay. I thought that was got hacked through a device.
No.
And hey, is it 7.2 gigabytes of Wi-Fi use in a month a lot?
Gigabytes?
Yeah, gigabytes.
No, that's nothing.
Oh, okay.
You're good. You're pretty much not doing anything on the internet.
Okay, 3 SpaceX launches in the next 16 days.
Awesome. All right.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, Danny.
Have a nice Easter. Bye.
Yep, you too. SpaceX is going to be busy.
Yeah, well, they're putting they just got FCC approval to provide satellite broadband.
So they're going to chuck how many satellites up in the air?
So Elon Musk plans to deploy 4,425 small satellites in low Earth orbit to provide internet service in remote areas.
So when you're flying your drone, it could bump into a SpaceX satellite.
Yep. No government oversight on this one.
Mm, yeah.
Or, you know,
see what happens.
Spying, whatever.
Yeah, it's a lot of satellites. You're going to see people
are
taking
they really out. For broadband?
People are going to use their, what is it, their skeet shooting skills on the satellites. Let's go to...
I don't think it's going to be that low orbit.
No, I don't know.
Would be a drone.
Oh, sorry. Who knows? Let's go to Jeff in North Canton next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much.
So I recently purchased this little digital microscope connected via USB cable to your computer laptop. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a HP Elite book.
Okay.
And every time I snap a photo, it puts the photo on the desktop. It creates an icon on the desktop.
Yep.
With the file, number.
Yep.
How do I get that to go into a designated file of my choice?
You'd have to go into the software that controls that microscope. You probably have it set to a default of desktop, and you have to choose it within that software. Whatever your tool you're using, that software itself, which you must be in, right? Do you have software
yeah.
that? Yeah. There's got to be settings.
The software, allows the scope to appear.
Yep.
And I found some settings where you can flip between the scope or the built-in webcam.
Yep.
But I haven't found any settings as to where to save files to.
They should be in there. Otherwise, they're just kind of making a mess of your desktop. There should be a setting in there. Without knowing more about the software to help you look for it, we wouldn't know what else to tell you. But there should be a setting in there somewhere that says save files to this designated directory, and you would choose it. But they just lazily slapped it to your desktop because they figured if they didn't, you would never know where your files went. So they're going to slap them to your desktop. Oh, there's my microscopic picture. But you're a scientist, for crying out loud. They should have given you a little more credit.
Yeah, all 37 of them clogging up the desktop.
So okay. There's got to be a setting in there, Jeff. I promise you there is. Or they didn't give you any credit, and they figured you guys wouldn't be able to find them after you took the snapshot.
Okay. Well, I also want you to know I was up at 9 o'clock this morning.
Oh, you were? All right. You should have called in then.
Yeah, I was... trying to figure out how to move the files to a file of my choice.
Oh, gotcha. If you give us more information, like what the software is, you can email us that information at gethelp@tabinc.com. We'll try to find it for you.
Very well.
All right, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Happy Easter to both of you.
You too.
Thank
thanks.
You too.
All right. Yeah, some software is just lazy, They don't really care about the user. They're like, we'll just stick it right there for them. We can't, and then they make you take your file off your desktop after you look at it, and then you have to file it wherever you want to put it. But I would think there's got to be a setting, right? Come on. There's got to be a setting. All right, we'll step out for a quick break. One line open for you. Marty, David, and Ed, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Dr. Alessi should be in soon with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. I think you get a whole Saturday afternoon of talk, and then the Red Sox are taking on the Rays at 5:25, so stick around for that. Nice to see opening day starting up. Somewhere it's warm. Let's go on to Ed in Brantford next. Hey, Ed.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I'm using Yahoo for email and Mozilla. And
Mozilla Corn Oil or Mozilla Firefox?
Mozilla Firefox.
Right.
And I'd like you to post how to take and clear out the cache in Mozilla and also Google. And for some reason lately I noticed that when I take and go pull up my email and so forth, it appears that Google is the one that is providing the information.
The ads? Is that what you mean?
And I also read, I think, somewhere in the past that Google was going to be purchased by Verizon. So
I doubt that.
So... Well, I don't know. So maybe you can clear up some of the background for me.
So why do you want to clear your cache?
Well, I just got reams of it and so forth. it's been going on for about 3 years now. So, you know, they got tons of information that keeps floating to the surface.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to understand. So there's many types of caches. So clearing a Gmail cache or a Google cache, basically that's going to have to do with your browser. However, Google still knows Ed from Branford. They already know because the data is already on their servers everywhere you searched, everywhere you've gone. We can give you ways of supposedly clearing that information. Good luck, though, if you believe they're really going to take it off, because there's really no law saying they can't, and you already said you would allow them to have that information. So it's one of those catch-22s that might be corrected finally with legislation. But clearing your Google cache is just going to help your browser work a little faster. Clearing your Yahoo would be just deleting your email, but they've got it somewhere too, you know. They still got it backed up somewhere. So, you know, if they ever need to look at what emails Ed from Branford said, I bet you they could send. They bet you they could easily do that if they want to, even though you deleted your mail. It's one of those things that's kind of creepy and at the same time, but we'll put some links as to how to clear your cache. I assume you're trying to do it so that you feel a little more less followed, right?
Well, I thought it probably would take and allow things to move along a little bit faster.
That's okay.
Bog the machine down.
It's the browser. Okay, so we'll look at your browser cache. And you're using Mozilla Firefox as your browser, so we'll put a link there to how to clear your Mozilla Firefox cache. Yeah, that can improve your performance a little bit, but with the new Mozilla Firefox being so fast, you know, you should already notice it's a much better browser. So,
okay, good.
All right, Ed?
All right. Hey, happy Easter, guys.
You too.
Thanks very much.
All right, our pleasure. I wasn't sure where Ed was going, but he just simply wants to clear his cache, but clearing your actual cache, the stuff they all know about you, that's going to be a little harder to do. Let's go to David in Glastonbury. Hey, David. David, you there? Hey, David, you there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. 1 second, let me get you off speakerphone.
All right.
My question is, now I'm here. My Good. Question is about Epson printer.
Yeah?
I bought it Tuesday. You know, a couple months ago.
All right.
They hooked right up, okay, to the internet, to the my Wi-Fi, and worked fine using my cell phone or my tablet or something. Yep. Then it just stopped working, and it said I have to re-enter my password. Well, it's the same password I've had before. I didn't change the password, and it when I put the password in correctly, it doesn't link up to my Wi-Fi. And sometimes it tries to link even before I'm finished typing the password in.
So this is on your printer itself. It's losing connectivity with the Wi-Fi.
Yes.
What is your SSID? What is your Wi-Fi?
I don't know.
Your Wi-Fi?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Well, that's the first thing.
What is SSID?
SSID is the identification code for the Wi-Fi that is being broadcast in your area. So if your Wi-Fi SSID is Linksys and your neighbor's SSID is Linksys and their neighbor's SSID is Linksys, your printer doesn't know where it's connecting to Linksys, but not yours.
All right. Well, I actually have a Linksys.
I know. Would like to have it. Well, I knew that.
If you look at my cell phone though, and for network and all that, the only network that shows up is my I don't know what they call it, something 1-1, and then there's a 5G something.
That the 1-1, that's what I'm getting at. What is that?
That's your SSID, which is service identifier,
right?
Which is your wireless. That's what you can see that you connect to.
What I'm thinking is happening is your printer is connecting to somebody else's open Wi-Fi faster than it's connecting to the one you want it to.
No, I understand how that could happen, but that's not the fact. It is mine because I recognize all the, like I have an HP printer on it, and it shows that Wi-Fi. And when I use the Wi-Fi at home with my cell phone or my tablet, it shows that Wi-Fi.
All right.
It's the correct Wi-Fi. And it worked before. I mean,
well, trust me, I've heard that before. It's all of a sudden it stops working. If you look at that configuration on the Epson printer, the Wi-Fi settings, there's something that changed on you. Either you're going to the wrong Wi-Fi or you're mistyping the password, but I believe you know your own password.
Yeah, so it's not That's the question. That's why I'm calling in.
Yeah.
It is the right Wi-Fi.
All right.
And it is the right password.
All right.
There's something with it. Like, why would it try to connect before I did the last digit in my password? It does that sometimes, and sometimes it lets me put the whole password in, and it says it's different.
Yeah, that is odd. It's weird that the printer would be anxious to do anything.
Maybe you need to default your printer and start over.
Yeah. You could start from the beginning, pretend you took it out of the box, and just default it, Bob's saying.
But how do you default it?
Well, there should be instructions with your
with the printer.
With the printer.
And if you don't have instructions, you can go ahead and do a search on the actual printer make and model and go to Epson's site, and they'll have a PDF with instructions.
Yeah, because it went with the box.
Yeah.
I'm like this optimist that thinks, well, you know, I don't need this box. It's going to run until
yeah.
No, it ain't.
No. Come on, Dave. Not in the year 2018. Heck, nothing works anymore the way it used to.
It is what it is for sure.
Yeah. How about?
So I got to restart. I'm sorry.
Well, how about connecting it hardwired? Can you do that? That'll always work. Is there a data?
No, it's actually in the closet in my family room, so it's out of the way.
Okay.
So,
default it. Start over.
I can't do wires. That's caveman stuff.
But they work.
Wires always work.
But you can't hook it up to. You can't use a wire because on a cell phone.
So yeah, I hear you. But yes, you can configure both. You can have your wire connecting, and then you can still have the wireless functionality. So if you want to print wirelessly through your cell phone, you can have both. You can have both things. You can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, well, I'll look up the PDF and see.
Yeah, default it. Try over again, and be sure you're connecting to your SSID. That's the only thing I think it's not doing. That's just me, but I believe you that you're seeing something. But I think it's not connecting to yours. I think it's trying to connect to your neighbor's.
All right, it's not. But
all right, it could be cheating on you.
That's right. It worked fine for a couple of months, and then it just stopped. And right. My neighbors haven't moved, so I'll ask them if they see my network.
Wouldn't it be funny if his Wi-Fi is the same as yours, same SSID?
It's not possible, is it?
Yeah, I gave you the example of Linksys. Who knows what you guys did? Who knows? I've seen it all the time. People connect to their devices connected to their neighbor's stuff. That's why they can't see it.
and that's why it goes so slow.
Well, it could go slow, but it's just going to connect because the neighbor hasn't password protected it either. It'll just connect over there. So yeah, so check it out, David. Default it and see if that solves it for you. Start over.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a nice weekend.
You too, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, wireless is a big pain sometimes. All right, do I have enough time to take one more call, Mike? All right, we're going to try to squeeze one in here. We've got, oh boy. Marty's problem seems like it's more than a minute or two. Hey, Marty, what's up?
Hey, great show.
Thanks.
Great show. If you know how you have the, was it the SSID?
Yeah.
Which is the password on your router?
Well, no, it's just the name of the Wi-Fi network.
Okay, so if you got I understand. So if you got Cox or Frontier, whatever, they each got one.
Right.
But if the number's out there, to the public, should I change the router?
If
the numbers aren't going to be out in the public. The SSID may broadcast so that you can see the network,
but the
password is something either you can change or it's set by your provider.
Right.
If you're using, let's say, Comcast, if you look on the bottom of your router,
the numbers are there.
Yeah.
The passphrase is going to be there.
Just for you.
But right. So, you know, you need that number
to
put it in that is called the, what do you call that, serial number.
That's your SSID password.
Right, that's on the back of the router.
Yes.
They all have that, all the networks.
Correct.
So look, my friend put that out there. It's out in the public. That's
bad.
Will that hurt my house system, my Jeopardy?
Yeah, you get somebody out in the front driveway there surfing on your network, Marty. That wouldn't be good. Why did he do that to you? Spiteful.
A mistake.
All right.
Young kid fooling around, you know.
Hey, Marty, we got to go, but that's not good. You want to change that. We got to go, though. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thanks to Mike for producing.
See you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.